Kilgore, St. Helena, California, June 26, 1901. Dear Brother Kilgore, my soul is drawn out to write to you this morning. I would be very glad to converse with you, but this is impossible. I wish now to make some clear, definite statements, and then I shall feel clear. Changes must be made in the former order of things. Reformation is to place the work in a much better state, but the needed changes must not be made in an abrupt way which will create confusion. For years there has been rebellion against God, a steady departing from His will and way. Selfishness and covetousness, which is idolatry, has been brought in. A man is placed by his brethren in a position of holy trust, but that position does not make him infallible. In this position he is being proved. By consecration to God he can become a trusted co-laborer with Christ. But if he supposes that his position gives him authority over the minds and consciences of men, God is crowded out, and the principles of heaven find no place. When the one in a position of trust dictates as to who he will set up and who he will thrust down, there is need of an understanding. Is the human agent serving God, or is he serving the enemy of God? In the past, human authority has worked to counteract divine authority. Expensive methods have been brought into the work. There is to be close, consistent examination in every part of your work in Nashville. Simple, direct methods are to be employed. Put your confidence in God. He will teach you how to simplify, how to avoid using methods in the publication and circulation of books which will bring disappointment and failure. The principles of righteousness are ever to be followed. This is a dispensation of light and knowledge. The faithful canvasser is to receive a reasonable sum for his work. Canvassing is an evangelistic work, and by it great good may be done. Two canvassers should be sent out together. They can help one another to be indeed honored sons of God. Seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1, verse 22-23. How important, then, it is that all who take hold of the work, those who canvass and those who work in the office, shall faithfully preserve and practice the highest, holiest principles of the Word of God. They are to be born again by the power of the Word of God through obedience to the truth. They are to know for themselves what righteousness means. They are to know by experience that if they follow on to know the Lord, they will know that His goings forth are prepared as the morning. As they advance, constantly searching the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit revives the soul, enabling them to comprehend the truth, not as it is in human wisdom, but as it is in Jesus. Let a class of canvassers be fitted up, by thorough instruction and drill, to handle the publications that shall come forth from the press. Those who take up the work of canvassing as a preparation for the ministry will indeed realize the truth of the Savior's words, "He shall testify of me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." John 15, verse 26, 16-14. Christ's petition for his disciples was, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 17, verse 17. Only by the word of God can we be sanctified. The impenitent are becoming more and more bold in their wickedness, more decided and cruel in their hatred of the truth. The words of the prophet are positive. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. Daniel 12, verse 10. I am instructed to say to the workers in the South, ever put your trust in God. Pray much, and believe that in His good work the Lord will guide you step by step. trusting, hoping, believing in the Lord, holding fast the hand of infinite power, you will be more than conquerors. In God, you will have victory and success. You will see the salvation of the Lord. When the powers that be try to bind you about in your work, to fetter you with customs and regular lines, tell them that you seek counsel from God, that you walk in His way and obey His teaching. The work in the South has been hindered at every step, but there are men in the South who, when they see that their expectations will not be mocked, will help and help willingly. Go forward, my brethren. Be of one mind and one heart.
Brother Kilgore, when I read the letters written by you and Brother Daniels regarding the work in Nashville, I thought, if our brethren have not had enough of the old regular lines, then may God give them enough. When men are convinced against their will, they are of the same opinion still. Oh, how often the Lord's work has been hindered by the unbelief of His human agents. Your letters came just as we were about to leave for the Oakland camp meeting. At that time, I was so wearied both in mind and body that I could not weigh matters clearly. I dared not do any writing or thinking. My condition was such that I knew that I must be much in the open air, and I decided to drive to Oakland. So Sarah and I drove to Vallejo, 35 miles from St. Helena, and took the train from there to Oakland. This was on Wednesday. On Thursday afternoon, I talked to a large audience in the tent, and the Lord sustained me. I spoke on Sabbath afternoon and on Sunday afternoon in the tent, and each time there was a very large congregation. I had a message for the people, and especially for the ministers, regarding their tame, spiritless, and lengthy prayers. It is generally the case that the less of heaven's vitality there is in a prayer, the more lengthy it is. I asked my ministering brethren if they could not have a revival of the Holy Spirit so that their prayers might be filled with the moisture of heaven. All the freshness and power of the truth is to be brought into our prayers. The truth in our possession is of the highest value. How essential, then, that it loses none of its power in passing from us to those who are in darkness. We must not spoil the truth by our inefficiency. It must not be bereft of its luster while in our possession. Our expression of God's wondrous loving kindness, frame our words as we may, will be tame enough as it falls from human lips. But when with sanctified lips we offer praise for God's love, hearts are reached. We are to pray with fervency. Jacob wrestled all night until the breaking of the day with his unknown antagonist. Then the holy being with whom he was in conflict touched Jacob's thigh with his divine finger, and how quickly he was mastered. Then he knew with whom he had been in contest, and he fell, a helpless suppliant, on the angel's neck, crying, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Genesis 32, verse 26. Let us pray as did Jacob. Let us pray in every difficulty. Pray that the wondrous love of Christ may reach precious souls, that they too may pray and be refreshed with heavenly grace. Watch for the Lord more earnestly than they that watch for the morning. Hope in the Lord. Walk in His way. Declare His truth. He is well pleased when His servants talk faith. He wants His light to shine forth in the South. He is working for you and with you. You have a solemn, important message to bear. This message is of the greatest consequence to you and to those to whom you proclaim it. It is the truth of heavenly origin. It is the word of the living God, the testing message for this time. Let the workers in the South come up to the help of the Lord and with joy proclaim His truth. the Lord is soon coming. Talk it. Pray it. Live it. Make it a part of the life. You will meet lifeless, doubting, objecting faith, but this will give way before firm, consistent trust in God. When objectionable features arise, lift the soul to God in songs of thanksgiving. Preach the truth with boldness and fervor. To many, there will come mysteries that will not be at once understood. Then it is that we must walk by faith. As time passes and things develop, we shall be given understanding hearts. If we follow on to know the Lord, we shall know that His going forth is prepared as the morning. The experience my son Edson has gained in the Southern work is of more value to him than the golden wedge of Ophir. It has given him the assurance that the Lord is with him in the work. His way has been hedged up. His work has been made hard. But this has sent him to his knees to pray for divine guidance, and encouragement has come to him as he has continued the work according to the suggestions of the Lord. Talk faith. Pray faith. Work in faith. And then leave the results with God. Pray in more earnest faith, and the mystery of God's providence will bring its answer. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7, verse 7. At times it may seem that for want of financial aid you cannot succeed. Hindrances will come. You will be tested, tried, and proved. Work and believe, putting faith and life and hope and courage into your work. After you have done what you can, wait for the Lord, declaring His faithfulness, and He will bring it to pass. With joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Wait for the Lord, not in fretful anxiety, but in undaunted faith and unshaken trust. God's miracles do not always bear the outward semblance of miracles. Often they are brought about in a way which looks like the natural course of events. When we pray for the sick, we also work for them. We answer our own prayers by using the remedies within our reach. Water, wisely applied, is a most powerful remedy. As it is used intelligently, favorable results are seen. God has given us intelligence, and He desires us to make the most of His health-giving blessings. We ask that God will give bread to the hungry. We are then to act as His helping hand in relieving hunger. We are to use every blessing God has placed within our reach for the deliverance of those in danger. Natural means, used in accordance with God's will, bring about supernatural results. We ask for a miracle, and the Lord directs the mind to some simple remedy. We ask to be kept from the pestilence that walketh in darkness, that is, stalking with such power through the world. We are then to cooperate with God, observing the laws of health and life. Having done all that we possibly can, we are to keep asking in faith for health and strength. We are to eat that food which will preserve the health of the body. God gives us no encouragement that He will do for us what we can do for ourselves. Natural laws are to be obeyed. We are not to fail in doing our part. God says to us, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Philippians 2, verse 12, 13. We cannot disregard the laws of nature without disregarding the laws of God. We cannot expect the Lord to work a miracle for us while we neglect the simple remedies He has provided for our use, which, aptly and opportunely applied, will bring about a miraculous result. Therefore, pray, believe, and work. Commit the keeping of your soul to God as unto a faithful Creator. Praise Him who is the health of your countenance and your God. The favorable result of our work comes from Him just as verily as if the blessing had dropped directly from heaven. We are to thank Him as though the relief had been direct and instantaneous. Let those who are laboring in the South do their work intelligently. God is watching the work that is being done in the different countries. He will give wisdom to minds to so use the productions of the earth that the poor may be supplied with the necessities of life. There are a variety of things which will be converted into food which will sustain life. But in the course of His providence, God will cut away the luxuries which have been used by the world to gratify appetite. God lives and reigns. He will open the way for the neglected southern field to be cultivated for Him. The Lord says to the workers in Nashville, "Be strong, yea, be strong. The hand of oppression and robbery shall not afflict you if you will exalt the true, holy principles of my law." When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard for you against him. Isaiah 59, verse 19. You may feel sorry that you cannot do at once all that you feel should be done, but do your best as God's helping hand, and His blessing will surely come upon you. In all your dangers, in all your difficulties, in all your thinking and planning, in every undertaking, place yourself firmly on the word of the living God, pleading His promises. Thus it is that your faith makes all things possible. Cling to the Mighty One. Continue to say, "I will not fail, nor be discouraged." I am interested in the southern field, and God also is interested in it. When I think of what the present showing should be in that field, I am sad, and I pray the Lord not to lay this sin to the charge of those who have hindered the work. When I remember that the Lord has His eye upon this field, and that He knows its poverty and its needs, I say, the efforts you are making will not prove a failure. The promises of God are yea and amen. The hindrances which have been so trying have proved, nevertheless, to be a blessing to those who refused to lose their hold of the work. God has been proving His people. He is now giving them an opportunity to redeem the past. The lessons that God permits to come will always, if well learned, bring help in due time. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Romans 5, verse 3-5.
My fellow laborers, let not your courage fail. God is proving your faith. The Christian always has a strong helper in the Lord. When you come to a pause in your earnest efforts because you are unable to obtain the needed help, cast your burden upon the Lord. Be content to leave it there, certain that He is faithful who has promised. The what and how of the Lord's helping we know not. But this we do know: the Lord will never fail those who put their trust in Him. When He has fully proved His workers, He will bring them forth, refined as gold, tried in the fire. I send these words of encouragement to all the workers in Nashville. And I wish to say also that it is not the Lord's purpose that the work in Nashville should be built upon the same foundation as the work in Battle Creek. The truth is to go forth as a lamp that burneth. Christian missions are not of men, but of God. We know that some have done all in their power to help the Southern work. Let every family now repent before God for spending His money in pictures of their own faces. How does the Lord look upon such a reckless, extravagant use of means while there is such lack in His treasury? Every dollar and cent entrusted to us by the Lord is to be wisely and economically used. May God help those to whom He has given this world's goods to awaken to His design and to their individual responsibility. God says to them, "I have put you in possession of my goods, that you may trade upon them to carry forward the Christian missions which are to be established far and near. I have given you the benefits of accumulated knowledge. The advantages of the past and present are yours. Upon you rests the weighty burden of accumulated light." With every age, God's plan deepens and widens to embrace the world. God's instrumentalities, His light bearers, are to adjust their movements to His progressive plans. They are to embrace new territory. The churches are to be wide awake, moving with the force of omnipotence, because they move in harmony with God's purpose. They are to seize every opportunity for blessing a world in darkness. A spirit of greater devotion must be shown by the churches. They must labor with greater zeal for the promulgation of the last message to be given to the world. Now is the time for all to work. Now is the time to put away every species of self-indulgence and idolatry. Those who are engaged in Christian ministry are to labor unselfishly for the Lord, dying to self and pressing together in love. They are to love as brethren. They are to be kind and courteous, a savor of life unto life. As missionaries go forth to labor with holy zeal for God and His truth, let those who remain at home work also with earnest zeal to add to the church such as shall be saved. And let them send their prayers with the missionaries as sharp sickles into the harvest field. Many young men and women now engaged in secular labor will feel earnestly stirred to give themselves to the service of God, to become channels of light. Some will feel a burden to enter the canvassing field and will become able evangelists. Let these be given an opportunity to obtain an education for the work of God. And let all God's workers help and cheer and encourage one another with their prayers and faithful conversation, impressing one another with the dignity and responsibility of the work in which they are engaged. "All missionary work is sacred," said Paul. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Ephesians 3, verse 8. I must now cease writing, but I have not said half of what should be said.